me of myself, and all of them do, really. It's great. It's like coming full circle in a strange way. I don't know. It's surreal. It's the best word I know how to describe it with.
Indeed. And what do you think, you know, especially being a fanboy, you know, you've gone through that role reversal. I mean, as you may have noticed, you know, there's been a lot of fusion between American and Japanese graphic novels and animated shows. I mean, what do you think about this cultural exchange? And what do you think about being, you know, one of the integral parts of it?
I think it's amazing. I have to say, I'll try to sum it up as best I can. I once had the privilege of being at an open ceremonies for a con in which an older gentleman got up to speak who was an expert in Japanese culture. And he made this wonderful point of saying that something as bizarre as anime had managed to bridge a seemingly heretofore unbridgeable gap between two cultures. One's Japanese and American, who were bitter enemies just 60-odd years ago. And the fact that something like an animated show or you know, a genre of animated material could bridge that gap so that now these two cultures are, you know, dovetailed and, you know, friends and, you know, playing off of each other creatively and working together is extraordinary. It's a wonderful thing to get to be part of in some small way. I mean, I think there are things inherent to the Japanese cultural ethos that our culture has learned a lot about itself by considering. And it's really wonderful to just that's available, that there's all these crossroads and all these cross currents now in a way that there wasn't, you know, say 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. And that is, it has in fact contributing to bringing two cultures together that were, you know, during the great Second World War were enemies. That's astounding to me. That is something that I've yet to fully wrap my head around.
Indeed. And especially, what do you think about the art styles that have, you know, kind of changed? I mean, the Japanese animation style, for many, you know, cartoons later on in the 90s in Cartoon Network's cartoons, resulted in such as Dexter's Laboratory and the Powerpuff Girls, their creators saying, you know, that they were anime fans back many years before. And then that kind of style coming back to Japan in the form of panty and stocking. I mean, what do you think about that? Just like the art style in and of itself, just how just one side bounced off the other and it's creating, you know, an ever more perfect project.
I think that's great. And I think that's kind of history has shown us that tends to be the cycle of art and artistic expression, that, it, you know, cultures come together in ways that benefit each other and that also benefit the art form, so that you have these, you know, these works that can transcend geopolitical boundaries. And that's ultimately what art is about. I think when I often run into people who, I mean, you still in this business even now, still run into a lot of people that hate dubs just because they're dubs. Whether they're good or bad has nothing to do with it. But I try to make the point, well, I think, you know, the stories, the, you know, the anime, dealing with a particular show, I think the fact that it can have a home in Japan and also have a home in America and an English dub, the fact that that the original content of the show can transcend the language barrier and yield up to two different interpretations is a testament to how lasting a work of art is. And that's, I've always believed that. I think, you know, one ought to be able to watch a dub and the original Japanese fluently, and in the same way that one might go watch different, you know, conflicting performances of Hamlet or The Sandpiper or something like that. You know, it's all grist for the mill. I believe that art is meant to evolve, and that cultures, the wall separating cultures, has to be porous so that ideas can come through on either side. Otherwise, they stagnate and the cultures die. That's history's always shown us that. A culture that tries to lock itself off and kind of hermetically seal itself from any outside influence almost always perishes within a few generations.
Indeed it does. And what might you say, you know, considering that, you know, you have all these fans now, who are, you know, they look up to you and they hear your story and they say, you know, this could be me. What would you say to them, you know, the words of wisdom, you know, to inform them on their path towards possible stardom?
It's a difficult business. I hesitate to encourage anyone to follow it.
Fair enough.
Acting is difficult. Now, I love it. That said, I mean, we could talk for hours about the craft of acting and how best to approach it. I mean, if anyone aspires to be a voice actor out there, I hasten to tell them, think of themselves and approach it as as acting first. The operative word in voice actor is actor, and you need a background. I'm a firm believer that you need a background in classical acting training, because a lot of young people I've encountered want to be voice actors because they want to be actors, but they don't feel that they are quite up to snuff for the stage or for film. So they see voice acting as a way to sort of circumvent that and still be an actor. But the truth is, it doesn't work like that. If you don't have a background, if you don't have a solid foundation in what our society thinks of as more traditional forms of acting, like stage and film, voice acting is far more difficult, because, you know, when you're on stage or in front of a camera or what have you, you have so many things available to you to help create that imaginative reality for yourself as the actor that's trying to be this character and communicate it to an audience. You know, you have sets, you have costumes, you have other actors, you know, perhaps you have a live audience, which is, you know, energizing. But most importantly, you have your whole self. You have your entire body to help communicate this character. When you're in front of a microphone bringing an animated character to life, you have only your voice. In fact, you have to significantly dampen the way you use your body in the booth, because, you know, a sleeve rustling might ruin a take. You know, so it's sort of like coming from stage acting or rather going into voice acting without a stage background or a film background is a little like expecting yourself to be able to build a house using only a hammer when you've not even taken one class of carpentry.
Understood. Is there anything else you'd like to tell my audience today?
You know, the only thing I always like to say to them, which is thank you very, very much. You know, without you guys, I am just a crazy man in a padded room making funny voices.
Oh dear. And where might everybody find out more about you?
I'm on Twitter now at J. Michael Tatum, at twitter.com or whatever that is. Yes, Twitter. I'm on Twitter. That's me. And other than that, I play a lot of cons, so look for me at cons. You can go to animeconbiographies.com to see the latest ones I'm going to. I keep pretty busy, and every so often I'll make an appearance on Facebook.
Very good. Well, Mr. J. Michael Tatum, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to sit with me today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Always a pleasure. And I wish you I wish you the best of luck in all your future ventures, sir.
Same to you, my friend. Thank you.
Right on. This is Special K of the Black Flag Cast.